Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's the Mitchin Podcast.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to another incredible episode of the most incredible food podcast on the internet, The Mitchin. My name's Andrew Levins. My co-host, as always, Mitchell Orr.
Setting the expectations way too high.
That's what we do
as usual.
With us from the sports world, it's Mitch's golfing buddy, Sean McManus, who you may have seen at Bad Hombres.
Correct.
In Surrey Hills, which yes. opened recently with previous guest Toby Wilson.
The love machine himself.
Or neighborhood coffee.
Yeah, that's
also
true.
Also in Surrey Hills.
Like to slap out a couple of cappuccinos every now and then as well.
Is that Surrey Hills?
Yeah, Surrey Hills. Just down behind the Strawberry Hills.
Sean is also my only vegan friend.
Right. Mm. Cool. What about my sister?
Yeah, I guess.
Kate's your friend.
I guess so, yeah, right.
Sucked Kate in, you've got two now. We're taking over.
Wow, they didn't tell me that we had a golfer with a vegan agenda coming in today.
I'm edgy.
It's tough.
Progressive.
Tell us quickly about Bad Hombres before we get into the incredible subjects we're going to be talking about
and
in today's episode.
Yeah,
and neighborhood
yeah.
coffee.
So, I suppose Bad Hombres is a bit of a love child of Mr. Ghost Boy himself, Toby Wilson, and myself. So it all started with the little space that we had next door to neighborhood, which was going to be set up with Australian hearsay natural wines that we're going to start selling out of there. And we've had a lot of dramas trying to get a liquor license to let us do an off license. So anyway, we made a lot of good friends with some amazing winemakers down in South Australia, and we wanted to show off those wines, and we found it very hard to find a space. So then eventually we heard that 40 Reservoir Street came up, which was the old sugarcane site.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Toby Wilson told me the night before that he wants nothing to do with hospitality anymore. And he wants to go to ad school. So anyway, he applied for ad school. And
fucking hell, are you serious?
A dickhead.
Yeah, pretty much like the morning that he got accepted into ad school, I rang him up. I'm like, dude, I have a 50-seater restaurant, full kitchen, and it's got a liquor license, so we could do Ghost Boy with booze. Yeah. And he went, oh, yeah, nah, I don't know about it. And then 2 hours later, he was like, all right, I'm in, fuck ad school.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. Fuck ad school. That's so funny. Like, I'm sick of these cunts in hospitality. I'm going to go to a much more welcome and inviting, choice of professionalism that just really, attracts really good, decent people.
Yeah.
The ad world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But it was pretty good. So from there, we contacted the guy that was looking after the lease, and he said that he'd give us 3 weeks rent free to come up with a concept and slap some paint on and rip out all the weird shit that was hanging up in there. Then Bad Hombres was built, and it was pretty funny. We had no idea what the name was, and we were having a chat with the guys at Gourmet Traveler, and they wanted to know a little bit about what we were doing. And the last bit of the question that they asked was like, okay, cool, what's the place called? And I went, can I call you back in a couple of minutes, please? And I was like, shit, what the hell are we going to call this place? So I quickly went through the phone, looked at everything that JK, our other business partner, Toby and myself sent. And the last thing that we actually had sent to each other was a little meme of Donald Trump saying stuff about, we got too many bad hombres. And then we thought, well, fuck it, let's just use that. Contacted them and said, yeah, sweet, we're going to be called Bad Hombres. And it's been a dream since then.
Because in a way, Toby is a bad hombre.
Indeed.
His attempts at cooking Mexican food are far from traditional.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. When we last spoke to Toby, he was running Ghost Boy Cantina out of Dixon Street Food Court
yep.
in Chinatown, serving tacos but using Chinese pancakes instead of tortillas.
Yeah.
Has he carried over that bastardization of Mexican food to Bad Hombres?
Yeah, he's still bastardizing it to the best of his ability, but at the same time I think now he's really honing in on a lot more authentic cooking styles, I guess. And also working with people like La Taqueria as well down from Melbourne and getting some really nice genuine tacos and corn tortillas and white corn tortillas as well, blue corn tortillas. So still spinning off with that Asian vibe, but delving a bit more into more authentic Mexican styles of cooking, I suppose.
Fucking white people.
Yeah. He's the whitest of white people too. He's so white he goes red.
So you guys open what, like Thursday to Sunday, is that it?
Wednesday to Saturday. Yeah, cool. And we're just about to launch something pretty cool too. We're doing a little good snacks, Bad Hombres. So we're doing $9 pet nats from 9 till 6:30, some $8 snacks and $5 Tecates as well, which would be pretty rad.
Yeah, it's one of those joints where you go because you know the wine's going to be good and the food is fucking great too.
Yeah, fun, exactly. Fun and it's vibes. A fun vibe.
Yeah.
Like if you want to dance on a table, I really don't give a shit. You can just don't tread on anyone's food.
So today on the show, we got some great stories for you folks. We're going to give a bit of George Columbaris watch. He's in the news again.
Yeah, you literally hit me with like 50 links this morning.
I'm only built for 50 links. We're going to talk about restaurants being dumb and racist. We're going to talk about cloud eggs. We're going to talk about VB gelato. We're going to talk about Master of None. And we're going to talk about tipping. That's going to be like the main thing we're going to talk about. Tipping and also the Good Food Guide is going to be national now. So all kinds of good and also completely stupid food stories for us to discuss today.
Are we going to start stupid and go to serious? Or?
I might mix it up.
Okay.
Let's kick off with someone real dumb. This is the first time I've ever read an article from Gold Coast Bulletin. and it's where the only place I'm going to go to get my news from now on.
Sounds hot.
Gold Coast business. Zanette's Gelati makes the most Australian dessert ever, VB Gelato. Sean, have you ever thought that maybe your beers were too hot to drink? So the best thing for you to do is whack them in the freezer, mm-hmm. and then you get drunk and you forget about them, and the tops burst off them, and you have beer ice in your freezer, and you're like, "Fuck it, I'm just going to eat that."
Yeah, I call it extreme drinking.
It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. I've actually tasted beer gelato before in the south of France in Nice, and uh-huh. it was not good.
Right,
but it was. Beer,
I presume if it's gelato, there's dairy.
You know? Yeah,
that's true.
I guess so.
That can't be good.
Yeah, it was like six years ago, bro.
That can't be good. Yeah, but this isn't. This is now.
So
yeah, it's bad.
Frank Bailey has been making preservative-free gelati for 13 years, and there isn't an alcoholic or non-alcoholic flavor he hasn't tried. I have tried every fruit and every sort of alcohol, the owner said. I can make any flavor. You just have to ask. I've made gelato using 4X Pale Ale, Bailey's Irish Cream, and margaritas.
Yes.
But he uses a 750ml bottle of beer in each batch. And that's why it tastes like beer.
Yeah, right. How surprising. How big the batches
yeah.
are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
So, yeah, apparently it's been a hit and he sells out very, very quickly.
Sells out of VB in Queensland. Yeah, he should question himself.
You know that...
Thanks again, Queensland. Yeah.
You know that dumbass trend where gelaterias will put like... A mandarin gelato will have like pieces of mandarin on top of the mandarin gelato.
Just he puts a beer bottle there?
He straight up puts a long neck of VB, plonks it directly into the gelato.
I wonder if he's a legend enough to make a full bottle there, so by the end of his shift it's an icy cold beer he can still drink.
Yeah, I think beer and cooking. I mean, beer, if you use it in like a sauce or something, like maybe that works.
If you use it like in a braise, yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you braise like a short rib in some fucking stout or something. That can be okay.
Beer battered chips. Yum.
Yeah. But beer and dairy frozen.
I mean, weird. No. Alcoholic desserts in general. Actually, you used to have that gin and tonic.
That wasn't a dessert.
What was it?
It was a savory. But there's a gin and tonic dessert at 12 Micron in Barangaroo at the moment that's been doing the rounds in
really?
The news and Instagram.
What was your dish was?
Kingfish gin and tonic.
Kingfish gin and tonic. So it was raw kingfish with like a gin and tonic jelly.
Yeah.
And some...
And cucumber and blah,
and
blah,
micro
blah,
herbs.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there were micro herbs back then too.
Shouts to 2008.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
But beer as a dessert, that's a foul proposition.
Yeah, I don't really know how that would really
work.
Let's
not give Queensland any more attention.
Fuck you, Gold Coast Bulletin. I'm cancelling my subscription. So the Good Food Guide... a publication that I write for, even though I'm by far the worst at writing for them. Send in the contributions later than anyone.
Have you sent them in yet?
I've got three more to go.
Jesus Christ. The guide goes to print next week.
Oh, shit.
Does it?
Does it?
So the Good Food Guide, and we've had the current editor, Miffy Rigby, and also the Brisbane editor, Callum Boys, have both been on the Mitchin recently. But the Good Food Guide is going national, which means that, you know, for the last however many fucking years, there's been a Sydney Good Food Guide, there's been a Brisbane Good Food Guide, there's been a Melbourne Good Food Guide.
So is it going to be one big...
It's going to be seven times thicker.
...novel now, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, because one of the big things that the guide's done since Miffy came on board is that when I first started writing in her first year, it was the old rules. So any restaurant that got a 12 out of 20 or above
was
included in the book. Yeah. She made it so it was just 14 and above.
Yeah, right.
Which I think is a really smart idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, I'm having to write about these middling restaurants that are like...
And be nice about it.
Exactly. It was really tough. And also, like, you know, you're not really recommending these like pretty average dining experiences. So there's definitely less restaurants. Actually, there are that many more restaurants.
There's a lot of restaurants, yeah. The book's still huge.
Yeah. And I know last year I was asked to do a bunch of like suburb guides. So I did like guides to Cabramatta and Parramatta, Auburn, Chinatown, Chatswood, that kind of thing. That's not in the guide this year either. So maybe they've slimmed that out.
They've slimmed all the extracurricular stuff out of it.
We'll definitely have Miffy and probably Callan on again, and so we can get, you know, get to the brass tacks of this. But
just means that they'll have like a good food guide and an okay food guide.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they also have that Cheap Eats guide as well that Fairfax put out. So maybe that, I wonder if that will stay
as a
city based. Yeah. But I mean, this, like, we good food, sorry, Gourmet Traveller guide, even though it's, you know, it's significantly smaller and comes attached to the monthly Gourmet Traveller magazine, that's national. Do you think this is Gourmet Good Food can stay different enough to be a national guide like Gourmet Traveller?
I mean, I guess so, because they have publications in all the cities. So, you know, if they're just combining the teams and that kind of thing. It's funny because the Josephine Pinole Young Chef of the Year award is also open from today. And I just thought, how are they going to do that? But the article says that that's going national as well.
That's
so
right.
All of the Young Chef competitions will now be the Josephine, which is probably a good thing, I think.
Yeah, and it means, you know, the awards are probably going to be like... They'll probably be like, what, one restaurant per state, and then maybe best new restaurant and best restaurant will be national. So, I mean, there are less chances for restaurants to win awards, but if you do win them, it's much
a bigger thing.
What are your thoughts on that?
I know it's kind of nice. I think they should, hopefully they still keep the city specific things and then maybe have an overall, because it's kind of nice to have the individual award things. And it's such a long tradition as well. It seems a shame to just throw that out the window in the aim of hopefully selling more books or whatever. But
it means the awards night itself is going to be a considerably longer affair.
Yeah, true. That's all right. It's a fun night.
Yeah, it is a fun night.
And there'll be more prize money now. Yay!
Yeah, okay, cool. So we'll see what happens this year. It's a pretty massive step. And I feel like Good Food, the publication that comes out... used to be called Good Living, now it's called Good Food, that comes out in the paper. I think, you know, that because they already share a lot of articles around the states anyway, I think there will be a lot more of a kind of, you know, tighter knit between the three publications in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane at least. Yeah.
Yeah, is it just Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane? Is that what they're defining as national?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really say anything about... It just says the marriage of the Age, Brisbane Times and Sydney Morning Herald. But, there are writers in Perth and Tassie and...
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, that's including those states that I'm less familiar with, that actually is quite appealing.
You want to know more about Perth?
Well, no, like, you know, I want you know, we love talking about where to eat in Perth. But it is, you know, those having that material in a book that you've already got instead of having to buy the Perth specific guide, that's going to be helpful for people traveling.
They should merge it all together. It's going to be Australia, you don't want to ostracize the West Coast.
That would be so funny if there's an entirety of Australian food guide and then just a Perth guide. Make it happen, Fairfax. Are you guys ready for an incredible weekly segment we call hashtag George Watch? George Kalambaras is in the news again, everybody. But this time, I might be on hashtag Team George. So after, you know, getting escorted away from a footy match after almost getting into a tiff with someone that was telling him to pay his chefs, and then that also followed him not paying his chefs, George is in the news again because someone is suing him after the massive outbreak of food poisoning that 90 people that ate at the Hellenic Republic.
In
2014.
That's a bit late, isn't it?
Like,
talking about trying to cash in on the, on the bad vibes.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yes, George is copying it again. And then I read the article and I was like, oh,
that's
man.
Fucked. Yeah, that's bullshit.
So some bloke, David Schroeder from North Fitzroy, of course he's from North Fitzroy, is suing after allegedly eating contaminated food from the restaurant, which left him violently ill. Him and 90 other people
left him violently ill for what, 3 years or something?
Yeah. I feel like either he is a lawyer or he has a mate who's a lawyer who's seen George getting dragged. I was like, oh, hey, mate,
it's a good time. Yeah.
Didn't you get food poisoning from that cunt 3 years ago? It's never too late to sue.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked.
I reckon he woke up at an epiphany or something one day. Must have knocked his head.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked. I'm on George's side on that one too.
Yeah. Do you remember that story breaking out?
No.
Vaguely remember it. No. Food poisoning was one of the things that terrified me the most as a restaurant owner. Not that anyone ever got food poisoning.
But the risk of it.
The risk of, like, you know, because you don't know where your meat's been before you get it sometimes, or I don't know, like that all those little factors, and I could make like a tray of 40 burgers and send them out, and every single one of those people might get some bizarre virus that was in the
When you buy it off the back of a truck in Chinatown,
there's bound to be issues.
You're a bit more at risk than, you know, but yeah, no, it shouldn't be a worry in all most reputable businesses. It shouldn't be a worry, and they're so fucking strict and strident on everything these days that it should be a really rare occurrence. And most of the time, if we ever have someone ring up or email and go, hey, I got sick when I got home, you don't eat something and then get sick straight away. It's
digestion.
The chances are the 3 bottles of wine you drank to yourself is what you're throwing up. It's not the food you ate, you know. So,
and if all hell breaks loose, you can always point back to circa, what was it, 2012, the poo-poo ice cream? Yeah.
It finally reared its ugly head. I was throwing up for days in 2017. I lived in a restaurant near where I grew up in like Pimble or Toramara. They sent out an avocado-based sauce to an elderly customer that had been in the fridge way too long, and it killed the elderly customer.
What?
Yeah. Like, they got so sick from the food poisoning.
Apparently,
avocado, if you leave it... Oh, no, is it the avocado or asparagus? So, if you have either of those in your fridge, throw them out. But, it was one of those base sauces. I should have looked this up. Because
really do need to start doing some research before we start talking about it.
Shouts to Kate, our new researcher. She's very highly paid and highly motivated to find us stories and look up. But, yeah, it's a restaurant that it's still... The site's still there, and people will occasionally try and, like, turn it into a new restaurant and they only last 3 months because it's when someone dies in a restaurant, nobody wants to go back. You ever gotten food poisoning from somewhere that you enjoyed?
No. I mean, I've had food poisoning before overseas and stuff, but I don't think I've ever got it here.
Just in Bali. That was it.
Yeah.
It was a bit of an awkward situation. I was with my ex-girlfriend and I remember I was in the bathroom for days. We're going on about not drinking the water, not drinking the water, not drinking the water, and then all of a sudden she's in the bathroom. I mean, like, tight bathroom, as you can imagine, and she's brushing her teeth, and then I'm having a shower, and we're looking at each other, and she's brushing her teeth and like putting it in, turning the tap water on, brushing her teeth with water. I'm like, ah, you stupid bitch, you just brush your teeth, you're fucked. Ah, whilst. Idiot in, right here proceeds to fill his mouth up with water out of the shower and go and spit it on her, and she looked directly at me and went, you stupid bitch. And then we wrestled for the toilet for the next 3 days. It was great.
I got food poisoning from sticky rice in Thailand. Apparently rice is like one of the biggest causes of food poisoning. I also, similar water experience in Vietnam, woke up in the middle of the night, was thirsty, poured a massive glass from the tap water, drank it. And that was like, you know, food poisoning takes a while to make you sick. I was like vomiting my entire guts up like an hour after
Ugh.
That.
Yeah. fun stories, guys.
Yeah, vomiting.
Fun.
what fun stories next? One of Mitch's ex-employers, kind of?
Sort of.
Massimo Bottura, one of his restaurants, was featured recently in the Netflix series by Aziz Ansari, Osteria Francescana. Did I nail it?
No.
What is it?
Without all the stuttering, you would have nailed it.
Osteria Francescana?
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, I got it. I got there. I get there eventually. It was featured in Aziz's series, Master of None, because Massimo Bottura requested that. He got wind that Aziz and Eric Wareheim were in town shooting that series, got jealous that he wasn't eating there, and demanded that Aziz and Eric eat, and the entire crew eat in the private dining room, have real Prosecco, real Italian food.
Wow. Yeah.
So, have you watched Master of None?
Not the second season
yet. It's really good, and it's quite food centric, at least the first few episodes. It's really good. But if you follow Aziz on socials, or follow Katie Parler, who's like she lives in Rome, and she has like a book about Rome, and
she has an amazing app called the Rome Foodies app, this offline map that you can just be like wine, and even though you're not connected to internet or anything, that'll just tell you what the closest you're going from your pinpoint location, which doesn't use data.
Yeah, right.
It's the best app.
Yeah, so I think Katie was like showing Aziz and Eric around and that kind of thing, and I think that must be how Massimo found out. But there's a really cool scene in it. And then I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast yesterday, and Aziz is on it, and he tells a story of he actually went and lived in Italy for 3 months after the first season finished. He took like a month of intense Italian lessons and then moved to Italy by himself and worked in a pasta shop to learn how to make pasta and la la la, and live the life that the character sort of lives in the first few episodes.
Wow.
And just because he wanted to do it as well. So it was pretty cool to listen.
You binged the second season already?
I think I've watched like six. It's really good. It's fucking really
I really enjoyed the first season. Yeah. I had a lot of friends that thought it was too quaint.
No, this is like quite quaint as well, but I've really enjoyed it. And it's really food centric. There's like food in every shot almost, and it's really fun. A lot of it was filmed at Four Horsemen in Brooklyn.
Oh, amazing.
There's like an episode where Aziz goes on like 100 million first Tinder dates kind of thing, and he goes to the same place with every girl and it's always Four Horsemen and that. And so it's really cool.
How much of it's set in Italy?
Like the first three episodes.
Right, sure.
Yeah, I think. And then there's like tie-ins through the series. It's really good.
Yeah, he is a big old foodie.
Massive. Yeah, and so is Eric as well.
Yeah, and they even had like some weird dining club where they used to put photos of them eating at really expensive restaurants years ago. Should we tell our Aziz stories? We've got Aziz stories.
I don't have any Aziz stories. I've got Eric stories, but not Aziz stories.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll give an Aziz story and you can give me an Eric story. So I used to do like tour management. And I tour managed Major Lazer and Diplo's kind of big reggae band, and reggae EDM, the fusion together at last. We did a bunch of festivals however many years ago, and Aziz came to Field Day, and he was obsessed with the main dancer from Major Lazer, Scarrett Boy.
Yeah.
And he ended up talking about Scarrett Boy on Jimmy Kimmel Live after his Australian trip. And like had photos of him, but after Field Day, we did a party, like an unofficial Major Lazer after party at Good God, small club, and I had to DJ for Scarrett Boy because he couldn't DJ, and he said he would DJ, so he would just pretty much tell me what song to play next, and then would just kind of yell over the tracks that I was playing. And then Aziz was obsessed with him. Aziz and also Samantha Ronson was there too, because she was DJing at New Year's Eve at the like opera bar or something, back when you could DJ at the opera bar and not get noise complaints. He saw Aziz come in there, and he could never remember Aziz's name, and he started calling him Nazi. Nazi, like, hey, Nazi, we got to do a dance battle. And he was like, you and Diplo are going to do a dance battle, and like got Aziz up on stage. And and then Diplo was like, no, you got to get Levins and Aziz and so I ended up having like a dance battle with Aziz in front of this drunk crowd. And then Scarab Boy climbed up a ladder and jumped on a bunch of women. It was an eventful night.
Yeah. I think I was there for that one. I'm not sure. I probably went home a bit early.
And then a couple of years later, I did this thing with David Chang for Bullet Bourbon. And Aziz was in town doing a tour at that point too. And he came. and was like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, remember me from the tour? And I was like, oh, what's going on after this? And I was like, oh, well, my friend DJ Leon Smith, it's his birthday, and he DJs at a strip club. So we're all going to go to Bada Bing later. It's going to be a really fun party. And he was like, okay, I'll come. And I was like, all right, cool. And Aziz came for, I think, 3 minutes. He walked into Bada Bing. Every dude in the room walked up to him and was like, oh, fucking, you're the funniest cunt, eh? And he was like, cool, I'll see you later. Yeah. And then just walked out and walked out. And then those are my Aziz stories.
Classic. Eric, you're part of the Eric story because Eric came to Acme last time Tim and Eric were on tour in Sydney. And our friend Neha, who lives in LA, who is friends with Eric, said, Eric's in town, he really wants to come to Acme. Can you hook up a booking, blah, blah, blah? And sent me a photo, a selfie that Eric and Neha took together. And so I organized the booking, and Eric came in and had like pretty much ate the whole menu and had a good time. And he's pretty much exactly the character in Master of None. Like, he talks in the same cadence and he's fucking huge and funny and bubbly. And so he came in and I said, oh, Eric, Mitch, you know, nice to meet you. My friend Neha's good friends with you, la la. And she sent me this photo. And so I showed him the photo. And Eric was like, oh, that cheeky little minx. She told me, no, she'd never show anyone that photo, la, la, la. And he was like, okay, let's take one for me to send back to her. So Eric and I replayed the photo of Eric and Neha and then sent it back to Neha. And then Eric was like, what should I do tonight? And I was like, halfway Crooks was on. I was like, you should go to Crooks. I think, you know, you might even know Levs or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of this thing. All right, I'll go. And then he got there. And then at like 2 a.m., you sent me the same picture of you and Eric.
Yeah, selfie.
Back to me.
The triple selfie.
Yeah.
When I DJed with Eric Wareheim and Dog Pound, which is like their tour DJ. Yeah, yeah. And they were like asking me about food and asking me about what animals, like Australian animals, you can eat. And I said that like eating emu tastes like eating a wallet or like a leathery ball sack. And he just stood up and goes, this was the worst conversation I've ever had, and left the room.
Shit.
Sean, you want to drop some names?
I've got no names to drop. I was happy listening.
Okay. Next time, get someone who can drop some names.
Soz,
one of your other golf buddies. Soz. Are you going to select the next story now?
No, I was just looking.
Just looking.
Anything interesting.
That's it. Want to talk about fucked up food at Disneyland?
Sure. I feel like we should have Hongi in for this.
So, you guys been to... Oh, wait. I've roasted you about this on the podcast before. Mitch went to Tokyo Disney.
Didn't go on any rides.
And didn't go on one fucking ride.
I don't like rides, bro.
Yeah, I can sympathize with you. I've only been
to see the castle.
I've been on one roller coaster and that was enough.
That's
for me.
Yeah,
that was
I'm
it.
The same.
I'm
yeah.
such a fucking six-year-old.
Fuck the teacups.
I don't need it. The space probes and all that kind of shit. I don't need it.
Not for me.
So... I go for the rides, but I stay for the food because the food at Disneyland for a theme park is pretty awesome. Those massive smoked turkey legs are real great.
The lines are also hectic for everything.
You just got to grin and bear it.
I don't have time for lines.
In Tokyo, you can get like, when you walk in the park, you can get like Mr. Potato Head from Toy Story or like a massive like Pluto head, and you like crack open its head and you fill it with popcorn. And all throughout the park, there are different flavors of popcorn. And Tokyo has like Japanese curry flavor popcorn, which is real good. There are new things at the Disney California Adventure at the Paradise Garden Grill that sound maybe a bit too fucked up, like weird, you know, county fair bullshit.
Hongi's definitely going to want to go, isn't he?
So one of them, the less fucked up one, is Chicken and Waffle Skewer, which is a waffle batter dipped chicken breast, lightly fried with maple, bacon and sage dipping sauce. So it's pretty much a waffle that's been deep fried, and when you bite into it, it's chicken.
What?
Yeah, I'm kind of into that.
That's it's just like sweet deep fried chicken cake.
It's like chicken and waffles. Yeah.
On a stick.
But this one, I think is, I don't know. So it's on the menu. It's crispy battered corn on the cob. It's a fresh ear of corn, golden fried in seasoned batter with cilantro lime mayonnaise and parmesan cheese. And
it
so
sounds
it
like
is
like a Mish Cheese dish.
Yeah, but it's like a Pluto pup.
Yeah.
Except when you bite through the batter, it's a cob of corn.
Yeah.
Why are you
mad at that?
I don't know if I'm just thinking it's weird.
Why? What's weird about it?
Because like
it's carnival food.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's not that weird.
I mean,
if you tried to eat it from the top and bit straight into the cob,
it would hurt.
It would hurt. Yeah. You'd have to be strategic in your eating.
Yeah. Is this just Tokyo as well?
No, this is California.
Just California.
They're trying to out Tokyo, Tokyo with the most dumbass deep fried stuff ever.
No, I'm not that mad at that.
You're not mad about it?
Okay. No.
I mean, I guess
I wouldn't really go and eat it either. So
this is the pretty much a place that only does like corn dog cheese on a stick.
Yeah.
Like, so they've got all that batter on lock. It's made.
It may as well use it up.
Going, what can we put it on next? Yeah. What's the dumbest thing you guys have deep fried at Bad Hombres?
Nothing too dumb. We're just
cauliflower.
We're just deep fried deliciousness. I don't know, nothing crazy yet.
What's the deep fried vegan?
Treat? The cauliflower. The cauliflower. Definitely the key. But our churros as well. Our dessert's vegan also.
Oh, cool.
Pretty much. So the deal is like 60% of the menu is vegan. Without being vegan, it's just tasty.
It happens
to be vegan.
Like, it was my sister's birthday last night, so I cooked our all vegan feast. It's very easy.
Right. Yeah,
very easy. And you never like, oh fuck, I wish there was a steak on the table.
You know, my key to cooking vegan is purely just treat the vegetables like they're meat. Like, obviously, if you boil a fucking vegetable, it's going to taste shit. You don't boil meat. Like, if you're going to marinate your steak, marinate your veggies. Like, it's all the exact same thing. If you want to slow cook them, you can slow cook. If you want to bake them, you can bake them. If you want to fry them, you can fry them. Just don't expect to do nothing to them and them taste good.
Be amazing, yeah.
The cool thing is veggies have a lot more texture than meat does. You know, you can get a vast array of them. You can do a lot with it.
Mm. I found a Syrian food spot at Hornsby Markets last week. Bought their baba ghanoush was they did it without skins, so it was like this bright yellow, like almost see-through color I've not seen before.
Wow,
it's real good. Syrian vegan stall in Hornsby Markets. Hit it up, everybody. They're actually based in Guildford.
Yum.
Hit it up. It's good shit. Their hummus has no garlic in it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, right.
Why does that matter?
Oh,
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All hummus has garlic in it pretty much, but not Syrian joint. There you go.
You learn something every day.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the big subject of today.
Yeah, let's talk about
cloud eggs. No, just kidding. recent Yummy. Guest on the show, Callum Boyes from Good Food, wrote an article, a study that 1 in 5 Australians will never tip at restaurants. Now, before we even go into the article itself.
Who did the study? Did Callan just ring his mates and
Galaxy
ask them?
Research.
Okay.
Sounds legit.
Sufficient.
Open Table and Galaxy Research.
Okay.
21% of Australian diners never leave a tip at all. Does this seem pretty in line with what you guys have witnessed at your businesses? Or do you reckon that's maybe a bit too generous, even less people tip than that?
I don't know. We've got a little bit of an issue right now that's just being fixed where a POS system that we're using doesn't take tipping on it because it's a new company, which kind of sucks. But everyone's always like, hey man, the POS system says I can't tip on it. I'm like, oh, we can only take cash tips. So a lot of people for us want to, but one thing we have noticed is no one's really carrying cash
that comes into Hombres.
Yeah. Where I'm the opposite. All I do is carry that.
Because you're a business owner who doesn't like paying tax.
Shut the fuck up. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people still do tip. I suck at it. Even if I don't like a place, I'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna give them a $5 tip. They'll learn their lesson from me.
Yeah.
You know. But
you do get people that don't tip, and you. But it's I think it depends on the business as well. Like obviously, we're reputable, a hatted restaurant or whatever. So our clientele is different naturally to maybe a lot of places where all the people complaining about tipping would go. But we still get people that don't tip. But what's most frustrating to me is when industry people come in and don't tip, because you look after them and you know if someone went to their restaurant and didn't tip, they would be up in arms about it. So if you're part of the industry, tip, especially if you get looked after. Whether you're an apprentice and your chef made a booking for you at a restaurant that he knows the chef or owner of and you get looked after, make sure you tip. It's like respect, and what comes around goes around. And the same for floor staff. You would expect to get tipped if an industry member came to your restaurant, so fucking tip when you go to another restaurant. And you know, if you had a shit time, cool, I understand, like for the general public, don't tip. But don't just not tip. Say something at the time, like, hey, we didn't like this, or we didn't like that, or la la la. So at least you're giving feedback, not just not leaving a tip that doesn't tell the restaurant anything, because it might just be you're a tight ass.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Do you have like a percentage that you have in mind? I was 10%.
Yeah, 10% is probably a minimum for me. If it's...
Oh, if I get hooked up, I do more than that.
But. Yeah, if I get looked after, I tip really generously.
You pretty much tip what you were given in free dishes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and that's just a sign of respect.
Unless you go to Pinbone, because they'll just send you out the fucking thousands of dollars of food.
Yeah, and then they put all that... try and put the tip back in your pocket as well, but you have to make the effort, you know. So yeah, 10 to 15% is probably a minimum for me, and then depending where I am, I tip more or, you know, less, but still generally.
Groups have always kind of pissed me off though. Like, it's funny, like a table of two will come in and they'll leave a tip, table of four will come in, leave a tip, table of six, as soon as you get like a table of, because we're pretty lucky, so Hombres has two large tables of that seat 12 and 12 next to each other, so we can smash out 24 people. If they come in, not saying necessarily there, but other venues as well, what I've noticed is the bigger the group, the less the tip. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's...
I love that Kendrick Lamar song.
Yeah, it's just like you sit there and you go, look, even if it's just $5 a head, if everyone just throws in $5, it'll be great. Let alone even if you chucked in 10, it'll still equal only 10%. But everyone looks at it and they think, oh, we've just spent this amount of money. Why the hell should we throw in another, you know, $150 or $200 or whatever?
Or worse still, they round the bill up 50 cents and leave the 50 cents as a tip.
Had that happen the other way. I actually had some dude walk out the other night. There was 15 of them. We squeezed them in, gave them like a set menu, chucked them like a free round of beers as well just to say g'day. And then as they walked out, they left their money, and then as we went to count it, we noticed that it was like a couple of bucks short. And then one of the guys came back and he's like, oh, here you go, man, and flicked a $2 coin at me through the window and then just walked off down the street. And I went, not only did you not pay your bill properly, but you just flicked a $2 coin at me. Yeah. You sick.
If you're going to tip anything under $5, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't tip, because you're more of an asshole if you leave fucking $3 or $1.80.
Yeah. Unless it's shit. Bro. Yeah.
So my experience with dining in big groups is that, like, me and my wife and my family and, you know, most of my good friends are always extremely like, fuck yeah, we're going to tip.
Yeah.
We're going to tip out this motherfucker.
And everyone
but
else.
But then there's always some vocal person that is like, not even like, I'm not going to tip, but we shouldn't tip.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening.
What is their reasoning?
I don't tip is generally the reason.
This is in America. Money. Yeah, that happens a lot as well.
And that's exactly what's happening in the Facebook post from this article. It got put up last week, and it got 192 reactions.
Solid.
All of them angry.
Not that many angries, but the top comment is, nor should... So it's like, 1 in 5 Australians will never tip at restaurants, is the headline. And the top comment is, nor should you. They are doing a job they are paid quite well for. Stop trying to make Australia more like America. It's bad enough already. 440 likes, his comment got.
Shit.
Oh, sorry. It's 425 likes, 4 love hearts, and 11 grateful reactions.
Fucking grateful reaction.
And then the entire... Like, I scrolled down the hundreds of comments, and I could not find one... Like, I reckon 50 comments, and I did not read one pro-tipping comment. They're all just like, the agenda of this writer is to guilt people into tipping. Tipping was a tradition in the USA for workers when jobs where wages were poor. like never tip. Why should we?
Yeah,
wages. Shove the American tip in where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, right.
Wages are still poor, and this is what people don't remember. Like, often people working in restaurants, especially these days, it's their second or third job, or they're putting themselves through uni, and it's a part-time gig, or whatever it may be.
Well, some people are doing it as a career as
well.
Yeah,
some people are doing it as a career too, 100%. But these people work their ass off, and they're not making fucking millions of dollars a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, if they go above and beyond, then show them some appreciation. Like, I read one comment in there from a waitress who said a table got up and all gave her a hug and thanked her so much for her amazing service and that she went above and beyond and made their night and la la la, and then proceeded to pick up all the change and count back all the change to make sure they got the right amount of change and didn't leave her a tip. Like, hugs are cool and appreciation is cool, but, you know, let her go and buy herself a drink after work.
Yeah.
Or some, you know what 100%, I mean?
Like, yeah. I found one positive tipping comment. "Well, I do tip," says David. "I know it's uncommon in Australia. I will tip as a recognition of an extra good product or outstanding service. I will not tip if my time is wasted or if the staff are rude, even one staff member. I don't care about wages or political arguments. I see whether or not I tip as a sign of approval or disappointment."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And first comment from Brett. "David, tip the rubbish man next time he does a great job, mate."
Yeah, I'm sure the rubbish man would love a fucking tip. But
and
I'm
then David says a robot picks it up now, so... Let's get David on here.
Snap. Yeah, David.
And the robot probably gets made more than the waitress too.
Without probably. Making like a class comment, I feel like, because a lot of people reference McDonald's.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these people commenting that is completely anti-tipping aren't in a restaurant that encourages tipping to begin with.
Yeah, but it's your tipping service. Like, fair enough, efficient fast service for a fast food chain is impressive to watch, but it's not like they're sitting down and serving you for an hour and a half or 2 hours while you're sitting down and learning what
catering
your kid's name
to your
are.
Every fucking whim and want and desire.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you expect just because you went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start tipping at McDonald's.
Why not?
Bring it on.
They'd appreciate it.
Well, but they've got the charity bins out the front. I'd feel guilty.
The little
McDonald's, Ronald McDonald house.
Yeah. That's right. I had something else to say and I forgot.
Tipping, you love it?
It was a good point too. But
cow tipping?
Show us your tip.
What's a cow tipping? Oh, cow tipping. Pushing cows over.
You push cow tips like cows over. It's funny. Funny eyes. I've never done it.
Did it in boarding school.
Would you do it? You did it. Yeah, that's why you're vegan. That's why the guilt came back.
Yeah, the guilt. Yeah. Paranoia and
dreams. Actually, that's what I was going to say. As a chef, tipping used to really piss me off. I've worked at restaurants where wait staff would come into the kitchen after they're getting their envelope of tips and just count wads of cash
in front of you
when you're working three times the hours they are, slaving away, and they come in for service and then they get paid probably better than the chef does anyway, especially as a young guy.
Genius.
And then they come in and count this all this extra money that they've got, which they earn. But, you know, so from in our businesses, everybody gets tips.
Yeah.
From the kitchen hand to the restaurant manager, everyone in between gets tips. And, you know, that's what always pissed me off. And I used to have a lot of backlash from waiters in previous jobs of tips are for wait staff, tips are for service. And I think that's the American thing. I think in Australia, tipping is for the experience.
True.
And the whole thing, if one aspect is not up to standard, people aren't going to tip as much.
Like, if you eat something and it's fucking amazing, and then, you know, the service is okay.
Yeah.
You know, you don't sit there and you're like, fuck, that dish was pretty good though. And that might be your emphasis for tipping as well. Like, it's not necessarily about just the service that you're getting. Yeah. It's the shit that's going in your mouth as well, or the cocktails that the bartender's doing, or it could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I've noticed a bit of a change in waitstaff's attitude as well about sharing tips. And a lot of the time, people work out their living expenses with that addition of tips. And if I can make X amount of tips a week, then I can afford to live.
Mm.
You know, so it's not a fucking scam. It's not a guilt trip. It's just
a sign of appreciation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Callan's article is great, actually. He ends it with his top 5 tips for tipping. And this is like pretty much what you just said. Any good restaurant will share its tips equally among all staff, waiters, chefs, cooks, and hopefully dishes. So if it's the best damn goddamn croquembouche you've ever had this side of Strasbourg. But the waiter's a dead set wombat. You should still probably tip. 10% is a nice go-to number, but by all means, feel free to tip higher. Just because you're eating at a local Vietnamese takeaway doesn't mean you should tip with any less gusto than if you were at a three-hatter restaurant, especially if you go there once a week and the staff always give you a free bag of prawn crackers.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, what Vietnamese takeaways are giving away prawn crackers? if you do tip, don't make a big song and dance about how lucky the staff are to receive a gratuity from you. The staff will think you're a jerk. Everyone at the table will think you're a jerk.
Chances are you are a jerk.
Jerk, yeah.
And if there's a public holiday surcharge, and this is what a lot of people brought up in the comments as well, yeah. That's because the restaurant owner is paying public holiday wages to open their restaurant and make you a chia bowl while everyone else is nursing a hangover at the beach. He's clearly wrote this from Brisbane.
From, yeah.
The surcharge
from personal experience.
Yeah. Yeah. The surcharge is not going directly to the staff, and you should still tip if you feel like showing thanks.
Yeah, fair.
Agreed. Everyone listening right now, tip. And tip us.
Yeah, send us.
Send us your tips.
PayPal.
Show us your tips.
You guys want to talk about dumb restaurants or cloud eggs?
Fucking neither, really.
That's cloud egg it.
So cloud
more
eggs.
More info.
From an SBS article entitled, Cloud Eggs Are Going Bonkers on Instagram.
Okay, stop. Have you ever seen a cloud egg before you saw this?
No, but my friend Chloe Sargent wrote this article and I'll vouch for her.
You'll vouch for her?
I reckon she maybe is following a few accounts that are going bonkers for cloud eggs.
Okay.
It definitely looks like something that's happening in America besides here. What it is you separate the white from the yolk and then you whip the white furiously and cook it so you get like a golden brown meringue and then you drop that runny yolk in the middle. It looks stupid, probably doesn't taste that good.
And probably costs a lot.
Yeah, it's
in labor, definitely. Yeah.
For labor, yeah. Just fry my egg and put it on my toast, please.
What's your favorite kind of... Oh, fuck, you're vegan. Fuck.
Yeah, baby.
How do you like your flax eggs?
I was about to say Cadbury cream eggs, but I fucking can't eat them either, can I? Shit.
You do the flax egg thing when you bake?
No.
Had a flax egg cookie the other day.
What the fuck is a flax egg cookie?
You like crush up the flax seeds and you like stir them up real fast in water and it creates like a gel that acts almost like an egg white.
So not flax eggs?
Yeah, flax eggs.
No, they're called flax eggs because it's a flax seed egg.
Binds like
I'm more of a chickpea starch or red kidney bean starch kind of guy.
Mm. I'm interested about this because you can like use the you can crack open a can of chickpeas and use the fluid to bind right.
Yeah. So I had the funniest thing. I was talking to some carnivore about this and I was like, oh yeah. So we're talking about meringues. I was like, yeah, I actually had a pretty good meringue the other day. Had one that was made out of chickpea starch,
and
like
then
the liquid.
Then his monocle fell out of his eye and into his coffee.
Ugh, yuck, that's disgusting. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, that stuff's gross. I went, what's the last time you ate a fucking raw egg white, dickhead?
Yeah.
He just went,
that joint, GG's Pizza in Newtown, they do, I mean, obviously the pizzas are some of the best in Sydney, completely vegan menu. They also do like a chickpea, I guess it's like a pie, chickpea kind of pie cake thing. It's one of the best fucking things I've ever eaten.
I like that. I like that they do the vegan cannelloni. That shit's...
I have another one.
Oh, my God. They're cannoli.
They're like, what is it? Like a walnut-based blue cheese?
Yeah.
Like that. It's unreal.
Yeah,
it's
fucking amazing.
It's like an aged cashew.
I still haven't been there. Yeah, cashew nut cheese.
It's real good.
It's so
good.
But
it's like actually tastes like blue cheese.
The calzone is the most amazing thing there. If you get their calzone, it's mind-blowing. That's borderline life-changing.
I went to Anima Ecore, which is a pizza joint in Meadowbank, which is like a real good, proper, like, you know, Napoli certified pizzeria that is like just one of those joints that, like, Meadowbank is like a piece of shit suburb. And I live near it, so I can say that. It's fine. There's nothing in Meadowbank. But for whatever reason, they have one of the best pizza restaurants in Sydney. And they do like, you know, they do the meter long pizzas like Via Napoli.
I can't get behind meter long pizza.
Really? No. They're fucking great, bro. It's a celebration of dough.
No, yeah.
I can't fuck it. It's like carbonara. Like, I like my pizza round and Neapolitan style and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't fuck with
it's
it.
It's a different shape.
Yeah, I know.
It's exactly the same in every other way.
Yeah,
it's good for sharing. I went there with
a different sharing. I don't want to share. I want a whole pizza to myself too.
Then you can try all the different toppings.
Yeah. What, so they fucking split all the toppings up across the meter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I definitely don't fuck with that.
I normally just get a meter of margarita. But for myself.
Yeah.
But they had a one called Dracula, and it was like super hot salami and heaps of chili.
Sick.
It burnt my dick off. It was great.
Right. Actually, I had a pretty poor pizza experience last week. So usually I'm pretty lucky. I live pretty close to the Dolphin, and the Dolphin just started doing delivery. On Fedora. Yeah. You can
their pizzas are legit too. Man, it's very different to the pizza.
You can get a pizza. So Fedora's got a liquor license. You can get a pizza and a bottle of wine delivered to your house for $50. And it's like not anybody. You get a bottle of like organic Francesco Sorelli, you know, from Abruzzo as well. It's like mint. So anyway, they don't fucking serve them. They don't deliver on Tuesdays. So I contacted
Why don't they deliver on Tuesdays?
It starts from Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
And then who do they think they are, Bad Hombres? Anyway, so ordered another place for delivery, and like I always have to get, you know, like a marinara style, just tomato. I always get extra olives, some basil, and some chili oil on top, so tomato base. And then they actually had like a little subtext saying that they had vegan mozzarella on there. So I was like, sick, all right, I'll get that on there. Then finally the pizza comes to my house. And then as the guy from Fedora rocks up, he hands it to me and he's like, oh, hey, yeah, just letting you know they didn't have vegan cheese, so we just put normal cheese on it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
After I just waited 55 minutes and I was like, ah, oh, fuck. Dude, I'm not going to eat this. Like, you may as well just go for a bike ride with it, sit down somewhere and enjoy this fucking pizza, and I'll call these people up again. So then called them up. I was like, hey, you gave me normal cheese instead of the vegan cheese. Like, oh, sorry, we've run out of the vegan cheese. I'm like, cool, then just put no fucking cheese on it. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, cool, so the tomato base, just want olives, basil, a little bit of chili, that's it, just don't worry about the cheese. He's like, okay. And then all of a sudden two pizzas come back to me, and I was like, oh, all right, opened it up, and then all there was a I said, sorry, thank you very much, we've replaced yours with a vegan pizza. And opened it up, and it was like a mushroom artichoke-y, nothing that I wanted. And then finally opened up the pizza that I thought was my other one, and it was the same fucking one with buffalo mozzarella on it again. And I was just like, sweet. So I just paid money and waited 2.5 hours for not only one thing I didn't want, but two fucking things I didn't want.
Three things.
Yeah, exactly. Three things. Yeah, exactly.
What's that place of glory?
I'm not saying. Minosui.
Speaking about restaurants that are dumb this week.
Not restaurants that are dumb. Restaurant employees.
That's right. That's very true.
That's a better way of putting it.
Much better. Thank you for stopping us from getting sued. It's actually my goal.
I'm really trying.
Career goal.
I cannot afford it at the moment.
Neil Perry's Burger Project restaurant opened up a couple of Melbourne ones last year. And a staff member at one of the Melbourne Burger Projects served a group last week. And on their receipt, the group that he served, there was a young black dude that was part of the group. I don't know how many people were in part of the group, but he wrote on the receipt for what, like they labeled the receipt like number 16 and then the fucking N word.
Speechless.
Yeah.
I was completely speechless just saying.
Yeah. And so this is something that like one of those things that actually could have been completely missed by the customer, but
yeah,
he and his partner,
that's not the fucking point.
Yeah, no, I totally saw it, and like, but like, what the fuck? Like, so the guy's like obviously been fired immediately, and he's personally apologized, and obviously Neil Perry is, you know,
I saw Neil on Saturday night, and he said it was one of the most stressful days he's ever had in all of his experience running restaurants. Which is pretty crazy to think about. Because
isn't it amazing for him,
young idiot,
that he has to feel stressed out about some young kid's dropkick actions? Yeah. That's not even him, some, but it all falls onto him. Yeah, yeah, massive Muppet. That's an M word right there, Muppet.
Yeah,
I don't like. That's like such a baffling story. Like the fact that he was okay with one writing that word into the system,
yeah,
and then printing it out and handing it to the fucking customer. So yeah, I mean, look, I for what it's worth, I think Neil Perry and the Burger Project have handled this quite well.
Yeah,
just get rid of that fucking staff member and make sure he doesn't get a job
anywhere
decent.
Yeah, and Neil called the customer and personally apologized, etc., etc. So, but yeah, it's still a fucking nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah,
and 2017, we still, you know,
yeah, still happening. Like over at N2 Gelato.
This is possibly more stupid.
So N2 Gelato is the gelateria that uses nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen
to freeze their ice cream. It's a big gimmicky joint in Chinatown.
Yeah, these syringes and stuff.
Ice cream's pretty good, but the They're responsible. As the first people I ever saw to use a dumbass thing where they put the plastic syringe full of sauce and stick it into your ice cream.
Yeah, they've done some dumb shit before.
That's one of the dumbest things that has happened in food over the last few years. Not as dumb as this, though. They posted on their Instagram and Facebook accounts recently a new ice cream they're putting out called Honey Charcoal Vanilla. And the image is of one of their staff members holding this ice cream cone, and their hands are black with carbon. It says, "Is it still considered blackface if it's just on your hand?" Thinking emoji. Anyway, it's just spilt carbon, so calm yo tits with our honey charcoal vanilla gelato, carbon dusting not included.
Oof.
First of all, who wants an ice cream dusted with carbon? Like that is putting like tasteless burnt shit. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It's just color, right?
Yeah, it's just basically just color.
Would it have a little bit of bitterness to it, or a sulfury kind of flavor?
Yeah, a little bit of that burnt flavor.
Yeah,
but why would you fucking
make a blackface joke?
Why?
Like, and then who signed off on who's... yo tits?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit!
Like, does it say what fucking social media agency is in charge of this shit?
No, I'm guessing looks like they're running
direct
it
from the yeah.
Man.
But then they've since changed it to Honey Charcoal Vanilla Gelato. We deeply apologize for the careless and insensitive caption that was posted before this. We've taken disciplinary action against the staff in question, and the staff has been suspended, as well as will no longer be any social media communications role. Deepest apologies that this was posted so thoughtlessly. We will ensure tight social media scrutiny controls are put in place. Here's my hot take on this. I don't think anybody was fired. I
reckon 100%.
Yeah. I reckon that was 100%. The person who posted that as well.
Yeah.
Probably somebody messaged and went, you can't say that. And they went, oh. And then so they wrote that.
Yeah. So don't use the N-word at all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fucking ever do any kind of blackface. Don't talk about it. Don't refer to it. Just don't be a fucking idiot.
Again, don't be a fuckwit. The catchphrase that should have caught on when
it's
I
not fuck, all those years ago. It's really not hard to not be a fucking bigot.
And like, yeah, it's just like there is that like, oh, it's just cheeky Australian, you know? No, it's just being not a cheeky Australian. It's a larrikin humour. You wouldn't get it. It's larrikin humour. It's all we do down here.
Racial slurring is just beyond.
It's
not beyond that kind of stuff.
It's fucked. Yeah. It's fucked up. But you know, but it's so ingrained in. Like, it goes alongside with that. You know,
100%.
You know, it's PC gone mad, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't think N2 handled the apology as well as Neil Perry did for Burger Projects. You know, hopefully we can go 1 week without
it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Being fucking idiots.
2017 to go 1 week without a restaurant being racist.
Another hot take from me: George Columbar has paid off both these people to take the attention away from
exactly
you.
Exactly. Cause a bit of a stir.
Those are all the incredible stories on this incredible episode of the incredible podcast, The Mitchin, this week. Sean, we're going to do some signing off in a minute, but before we do, I want you to think about a song that you want to end this episode on.
Oh shit!
Also, what are we going to do next week, Lev? Because I will be in LA and Mexico.
I'll start talking to Mike Benny. I know Joel Amos as well. Our good friends in the wine biz want to do a wine-heavy episode. But Mitch is going to Noma, Mexico. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Mr. Dan Hong and I are going to Noma, Mexico, and going to LA to hang out with Lou Dog for a few days.
Louis Tikaram, who recently, you should go check out his Chef's Night Out video, in which he gets so fucking drunk.
Yeah, I haven't seen him that drunk in a long time.
I have seen him that drunk though.
So. Yeah, definitely. Multiple times.
I really miss that. I was like, oh yeah, that guy.
I remember that drunk idiot. Yeah, so we're going to go to LA for 3 days. I've got no idea what Louis's got planned for us, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty crazy. And then we head to Tulum for another 4 days to eat at Noma and eat a lot of tacos and barbacoa, and then
fucking
come
so
back.
So jealous. He's such a
get
cunt.
Back to work. Yeah, it's pretty
fun golf course.
Yeah. Try and find anyone wants to play golf in LA.
You more excited about Noma or tacos?
Probably tacos, to be honest. Yeah, even in LA, like, I fucking love LA taco trucks. Man. Yeah. I can't
I think Toby Wilson smashed something like, I think he was doing on average 19 to 25 tacos a day.
You can hear him go through that trip on his episode of The Mitchin.
Yeah. Go back crazy.
So yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to eat at EP, LP again. Mm. I can't wait just to hang out with Louis and then get to Mexico. I think Morgie and Paul Carmichael and a bunch of other people in Mexico at the same time. So it's going to be pretty wild.
And I'm putting the pressure on Mitch to try and record an episode of some sort while he's there.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
I'm going to get a call. I'm like in the middle of the night. Levins, how do you hit record? Like, what's the red button do?
What is it? My phone now like dies at 60%. So
get a new one before you go.
Yeah, I know.
You abuse it too much.
I'm going to try it tomorrow.
It's pretty, I mean, because you ate at Noma when it was in Sydney. Have you ever eaten any?
I've been in Copenhagen and Sydney, yeah.
I reckon, like, even though as someone that's not eaten at any Nomas, I think one in Mexico is the most exciting.
It's going to be pretty crazy.
The ingredients that are Japan, in that area of the
Japan
world.
Japan would have been phenomenal as well. But if you follow Renee on Instagram, like, he's been putting little videos of different ingredients and stuff up. It's really cool and interesting.
Unreal.
So, yeah, it's going to be... I've tried to not look at dishes.
Yeah.
And so I can go in and try and be a little bit surprised.
Some of the wines are going to be pretty
sick.
Too.
Yeah, you better drink,
some,
bro.
He's got some.
Oh yeah, I'll
you should definitely try the. He's got a Mexican natural wine.
Oh yeah,
which is mind blowing.
I'm sure Kat will pour me a cup of tea on arrival, but I'll have a couple of glasses.
You should definitely
as well.
Have a crack of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Sean, where can we find you online?
So we have pretty much badhombres. .com hasn't really gone live yet. That should be happening in the next week or two. But we're definitely got some presence on Instagram, which is bad.hombres.dining on our Instagram account, and also like our neighborhood account as well, which is for our Slingin' Chinos down in Surrey Hills as well.
Slingin' Chinos?
Just Slingin' Chinos, Monday to Friday, baby. No, which Unreal. Is just neighborhood BSM.
And you can follow your personal account.
Yeah, which is McManus Brewing.
Excellent. Mitch, you can be found Instakrill at Krillin on the Run on Twitter and Instagram for the one before that, one with in the title. You know, I've never pointed it out, but you are Instakrill and Hongi's Honkstagram.
Yeah.
Together, you are Instagram. I'm at LevDog on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And The Mitchin can be found facebook.com/TheMitchin or TheMitchinPodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Let us know what you want to hear. What you want Mitch to do when he's in Mexico for
give us
for
some
the
ideas
podcast.
Of things to do because we're quickly running out of.
We
them
are
already.
Not. This is this was an incredible festival of ridiculous food stories.
Yeah, I don't want to rely on people doing fucking racist shit for us to talk about.
I'd like to talk a lot less about that stuff. Yeah. Hopefully, it doesn't happen anymore.
It can't always be you know, moaning about visas.
Yeah. No. True.
Be
true,
fun.
True, true.
Food can be fun, everybody.
Food can be fun.
Sean, what song are we going to listen to?
I'd feel rude if we didn't put on some Genuine Pony.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, baby.
No explanation needed. See you next week for a Mitchless Mitchin. And,
the best kind, some would say.
Hopefully, yeah, Goxie was a pretty amazing stand-in.
Yeah,
for
I bet he was. I bet he was.
And hopefully something from Mexico shortly after that. See you next time. Adios.
Peace.
Ciao.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.